From the sports betting capital of the world, Las Vegas, it's time for the show you can't afford to miss. The number one weekly football preview, Wanna Bet. Get ready for valuable information, analysis, winning picks, and betting strategies. Your hosts, SEC gridiron guru Kip Kiefer, and award-winning betting expert, writer, and sports editor for the Las Vegas Sun, Case Kiefer. Let's go. Here's everything you need to win big. Wanna Bet.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for Wanna Bet, and we are having a great time here in Las Vegas at Superbook at Westgate Las Vegas. That's our location, and you couldn't get a finer one. Look at this facility in the background, the state-of-the-art sportsbook. If you're into sports betting, this is the place to go, the Westgate Hotel and Resort here in Las Vegas. Kip Kiefer with Case Kiefer. We have been having a fascinating time here, not only because of the great location, but also talking about a subject that's of a great deal of interest to all football fans right now, because it's kind of the new era of analysis on games. And if you're a sports bettor, particularly a football handicapper and wagerer, I hope you're getting some good information here. Case Kiefer has been enlightening us on all aspects of analytics, which is, as you said a couple episodes ago, Case, kind of a big subject. But today I want to pivot a little bit in that area to, you know, another area that's interesting. Last year, Lane Kiffin in the game in Tuscaloosa against Alabama continuously went for fourth downs and was much maligned for it, because on the first drive they succeeded three times, and I don't think they succeeded again the rest of the time in six or seven other tries. But a lot of that philosophy for coaches like Lane Kiffin and others comes from the numbers that you're talking about. Talk a little bit about strategy in game and how analytics play into coaching decisions and just basic approaches now in the modern game.
Wow, I totally forgot about that. to bring that back, now I remember, of course. And yeah, I think Lane Kiffin did a lot of cutting edge stuff last year. And I actually, this will be controversial, but I think that was one of them. And I liked it. Look, you got to know where you are. You got to know where your team stands. What, I can't remember the closing line on that game. I think it might have been like 14, which was obviously ended up being way too close. They should have been more. But you have to understand when your team is outmanned. That's when you have to be willing to take risks. You have to be willing to kind of muddy up the game. Yeah, it didn't work out. They ended up getting blown out that game. He looked like a fool. Lane Kiffin, though, he has thicker skin than me. He can take it. I think he laughed off everyone making fun of him. If those things work, if they hit, I think maybe the first two drives or the second and third drive, they got stopped. If those work and you make a game out of it, you kind of have Alabama backpedaling. I think that's a brilliant strategy, in my opinion. Like I said, you have to know, if this was Alabama and Ole Miss and they're evenly matched, if it's a pick 'em game, I don't think you need to take those kind of risks, because you're thinking over the long term, we have a good chance of winning this game. But you just cannot convince me that Ole Miss really had that great chance of winning a game. You have to take some risks. You have to do some gambles in that case. It didn't work out in this, but who's to say it won't in the future? So I liked a lot of things Lane Kiffin did last year. Hey, and if you look at it, over the course of the season, I think Ole Miss ended up winning 10 games last year, and they did a lot of similar things in other games, not exactly the same. Their point differential wasn't even that good. I think if Lane Kiffin wasn't that aggressive, if he didn't take some of those approaches, they wouldn't have ended up as good as they are. So Lane Kiffin gets my seal of approval. I'm glad you brought that up. I totally forgot about it, but I was a big fan of a lot of what he did last year.
Do you see the game evolving to a time with this new generation of coaches coming up that all are numbers oriented, I'm sure, because that's become, and we see the same thing happening in other sports, particularly baseball, that there's just been a way of doing things for so long that the numbers suggest maybe it's not the right approach. Do you think the game is going to evolve into, we're going to see less punts and we're going to see more, you know, instead of on a fourth and one, instead of just jamming the ball up the middle, some more, innovative play calling? Do you really see see the game evolving and changing in the next era?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we're already there. It's just now started, but it's funny. We've been talking about for years from more Clate, our producers, that generation, but everyone's been saying, just wait until we get some of these kids that grew up playing Madden to be the coaches. Because in Madden, are you punting on fourth and one on your side of the field? Absolutely not. You're making these aggressive decisions, and it's really, you know, all you have to do is play video games for a little bit to realize how ridiculous some of these, you know, traditional thinking decisions were. And I really think we're already there. You went to Lane Kiffin right away. The guy I think of, another super controversial, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be watching this and think I'm crazy, but Brandon Staley took so much heat last year for the decisions he made with the Chargers. They went for it on almost every conceivable fourth down, even somewhere I looked at the numbers and thought this is more of a coin flip, and I'm usually always go for it. But, you know, I really think that's giving you an edge to win long term. Again, this has been a recurring theme of this whole series we've done, is we tend to overreact to the result of one game, and I understand winning and losing is everything, but you got to be thinking, if I make this decision 100 times, how often is it going to benefit me, and how often is it going to hurt me? Now, a lot of these decisions, they're not so clear. You know, you're going to say, okay, if I do this 100 times, I think 60 times it's going to be positive, 40 times it's going to be negative. That's really not that big of a difference. You know, in a high leverage spot, you miss one, you're going to get hated on. People are going to be calling for your jobs. I think that's really what's kind of spurred the conservatism for all these years of guys just trying to keep their jobs. I think now with some of these younger guys that understand the numbers better, that have grown up playing Madden, like I said, they're more willing to take those risks and realize that over the long term, they're going to pay off. I think the Chargers are a great example this year. I think the Chargers really had some bad luck with some of the aggressive decisions Brandon Staley made last year. I think this year it's going to flip around. I know that's just me going out on a limb, but I love the Chargers this year, and that's one reason is the coach.
Well, and I think that's an underappreciated fact that you just brought up. From a sheer numbers standpoint, the numbers justify a lot of those decisions. The percentage of success, as opposed to giving the ball up, I can't remember the one just kind of really wacky coach, I guess you could call him wacky, that's at a smaller school somewhere in the Carolinas. I can't remember off the top of my head. But he's just like the extreme measure of all of those kind of decisions, of always going for it. And his belief is you never give up the ball willingly. And it's really fascinating, because that's not how football's been played for a century.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the extremes are too far. There's extreme conservatism I think we just see it a lot more, so it's an easier one to attack as a numbers guy of this being ridiculous. But, you know, you do hear that. I think it's a famous high school coach, actually, that just will not punt no matter what. I actually understand it a little more in high school, because we've seen high school kickers. I mean, not to put down everyone, there's some great ones out there, but just the average team, if you go see their kicker, you never know what they're going to get out of it. I think on the college level, that's going a little too far right now. But, I mean, the number of punts are down. The number of field goals in the NFL are way down, especially from close distance. So I think we are moving in that direction, and I think it is a positive. You know, there's so many models right now that run every single time a team decides to punt. You know, is that a valuable? And more often than not, when you punt, it's not. So I think you're going to see less kicking in football, and if you're a guy like me, that's good. Maybe not everyone likes the change, but I think it's good as far as teams trying to maximize their win probability.
Well, it's just a subject that's really unfolding right before our eyes, and it's really interesting, because I really like the point you made a little bit ago, that coaches are conservative, not so much maybe it's their nature, it's job preservation. If you don't go into the prevent defense and get burned deep and lose a game, you're going to be just absolutely barbecued. So, but the numbers really, to me, don't suggest that those strategies that have always been, you know, considered just textbook are really the best way to win games.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these guys, not all of them, I already said Lane Kiffin was the opposite, but some of them just don't like the criticism that comes their way. A famous one is, you know, anytime a team runs a fake punt and it doesn't work, you're called an idiot, you know, your head's called for, but if it works, you're a genius. I'm remembering the famous one in the SEC championship where Kirby Smart took a lot of heat, but I think that's one thing. I think guys don't like being, you know, hounded after if something something doesn't work, and that makes them less, take fewer risks. But I think that line of thinking is changing, and I think it's overdue to change.
This has been a fascinating conversation. We will still touch on some aspects of analytics, and maybe we'll do a second series in the very near future. But I hope we gave you a little bit of a glimpse over the last 3 or 4 weeks of where the game is and perhaps where it's going, particularly from the betting standpoint, because that's where the money is for action seekers every weekend. When we come back, Case Kiefer gives his picks for this week. Stay right where you are.
Hey, it's Case Kiefer back for another week of my best bets on Wanna Bet. Interesting week last week. 2-2 on the NFL, 1-1 on college football, but that push and that loss in college football, two of the worst beats I've taken all year. First one, Miami -2, they win by 2 in triple overtime, and I guess maybe I shouldn't complain too much about this one, but I think it just goes to show a lot of what's wrong with the Hurricanes right now. 4th and goal from the 2-yard line at the end of the game, and Mario Cristobal opts for the field goal. I'm always going for the touchdown. I want to win the game there. I think that was a terrible call, even though it ended up being fine with them. And man, what a mess that Hurricanes program is. I hope I don't pick them again for the whole year. But then, if I'm sure you've probably seen the TCU West Virginia finish by now. We were on West Virginia +8, 4th and 1 from the 30-yard line with 20 seconds left, and TCU dials up a downfield pass into the end zone for a touchdown to get the ultimate kick in the groin cover. That one hurt. Still haven't gotten over that one, but that'll bring us to this week's picks in college football. I still am going against TCU. I don't know. It's interesting. Every year you come in and you find new teams that you're disliking, and you just can't understand. And I just don't see any way why TCU should be undefeated right now. They sneak out of every one of these games. This week, they're playing Texas Tech as now a 9.5-point favorite. I am on Texas Tech. I'm actually on +10 from earlier in the week. It's come down a little bit, but 9.5 I still think is fine for Texas Tech traveling to TCU. One of these weeks, the luck is going to run out. I don't know when it's going to be. Maybe it won't be, and they'll play this all the way into the college football playoff. But I don't even think they're the best team in the Big 12. And so far, the results say otherwise. But I think it's going to run out one of these days. So Texas Tech +9.5, where we'll start. I feel like I had good reads on all the games last week. The one we did win in college football, UCF pick'em against Cincinnati. I'm going to go right back to the well this week and actually pick against UCF because they lost their quarterback, John Reese Plumlee, in that game. There's been some talk that he could return this week. I kind of doubt it, though. If you look at the nature of the injury and how he got hurt, I think he's going to be out this week. And if he's out, I don't see UCF keeping up with Memphis and what should be a shootout. I like Memphis's quarterback, Seth Hennigan, even more. I'm not a scout or anything, but next year after his junior year, I think this is a kid that's going to get a shot in the NFL. I know I've picked against Memphis, I think, a couple times here and been paid off, and I think I even backed them once on an earlier one a bet and lost. So had a long history with them this year as well, but I like the spot for them. Anything above a field goal, it's actually come down a little bit too in this game. They were a 4-point dog, now they're 3.5. If you can get better than +3, I like Memphis. So Memphis +3.5 versus UCF. And then I'll throw in a West Coast game to finish. Everyone wants some late night action. How about Fresno State -26.5 hosting Hawaii? That's always this time of year where I feel like the travel wears on the Warriors going back and forth between the mainland and the islands. They've actually been playing a lot better lately. I think they've covered 4 or 5 straight games. But Fresno, you know, all year I was just hoping could stay afloat until Jake Haner came back. He had a really bad high ankle sprain, their quarterback, I believe week 2 or week 3 against USC. They have stayed afloat. They're in control of their destiny in their division. Haner came back last week in the Mountain West. I still think this is the best team in the Mountain West with Haner. This is a kid that could have played, could have transferred to a lot of Power 5 schools this year, and actually did originally go with Kalen DeBoer to Washington before deciding to come back to Fresno. I just think he can throw all over every one of these Mountain West teams. The Mountain West is really down this year, and Hawaii is one of the worst, so anything below 28 I think is good with Fresno State. So I'm going to go with Fresno State -26.5. I know Kip will be breaking down all the SEC slate, but such a huge game, biggest game of the year so far, and maybe the whole regular season. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that I have a strong opinion in that one. I like Georgia laying the 8 against Tennessee. Again, I'll let Kip break it down in full. I don't have too much to say. I just think that there's more talent on the Bulldog side. There's been a great Tennessee story, but I think it runs out this week. I like Georgia there. Let's transition to the NFL, where we are 14-11 on the year. 14-14-2 on college football. So just barely hanging in there, but I'm feeling one of these weeks it's going to all come together. Hopefully it's this week. I like a whole lot of favorites. Let's start with the team we were loving and now all of a sudden are fading all the time. We're going to go back and do it again this week. I like the Chargers -3 against the Falcons. The Chargers coming off a bye week, which I think is really important for them. They were really banged up, especially Justin Herbert at quarterback. I think people have kind of forgotten how bad his shoulder injury was early in the year. He's gotten a little bit better week by week, but now I think especially with a week off. I say it every week on the show, and I think any betting talks I do, I'm a broken record at this point, but I just think Atlanta's pass defense is such a liability. They already had no pass rush. Now their secondary is not any good. I think this is a get-right spot for Herbert. Don't mind laying the 3 points on the road there with the Chargers. Next, a team I usually pick against, but I'm going to be on this week, the Bengals -7. This number was all the way up at 8.5, 8 against the Panthers going into Monday Night Football. The Bengals, of course, have the bad performance that we cashed on with Cleveland +3.5, but I don't take too much out of that. I think this Browns team has a lot more talent than the Panthers. We kind of saw it all come together against a familiar opponent in the Bengals that they play twice a year. I don't think the Panthers have the same level of talent that they're going to be able to do that to the Bengals. I see this as a get-right spot for the Bengals. I think they'll be okay in this game without Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd should be feeling better in the offense. I know this is trending towards 7.5, just like the Chargers is trending towards 3.5. Of course, do everything you can just to get the 7, but if it has to be 7.5, I think that's okay too. Again, this was 8, 8.5 going into Monday Night Football, and I thought it should have been higher then. I think this is just a big overreaction. So Cincinnati -7 is the official play. Is it still out there? If you have to do 7.5, go with that. Like I said, two more favorites to finish us off. Arizona -1.5 hosting Seattle. This is a little bit of a feel thing, but I really think it's become time to sell high on the Seahawks. It's been such a great story, played so well, but these two teams played less than a month ago, and it was dead even. Basically, the Seahawks did end up winning, but you were getting +3 at home with them at that point. Now you're only getting +1.5 on the road. That's way too big of an adjustment. Give me Arizona -1.5. And finally, the game I'll be at in Jacksonville. I actually like the Raiders -1 here playing in Jacksonville. From a situational perspective, I really like that the Raiders stayed on the East Coast all week. They went out to Sarasota. I think they're going to get away from the distractions. They'll be able to bond and fix some things. Meanwhile, the Jaguars coming back from London, that's always tough. It's a thing where teams have traditionally played kind of poorly doing that. I know there's some different research now, and teams are handling it smarter and actually thinking it can be an advantage just to not take the bye after that. But I don't know. I like where the Raiders are situationally a little bit better than the Jaguars. I think they're going to have had a really good week of practice in Sarasota, and I think they are the more talented team in general. So Las Vegas -1, Arizona -1.5, Cincinnati -7, and the Chargers -3 for our NFL picks. Stay tuned next for Kip on the SEC. Thanks for listening to Wanna Bet.
Hey, everybody, it's Kip Kiefer. You know, on all of our shows, we're in the business of picking winners. But selecting the champions of real estate, particularly downtown, well, that's easy. It's Lita D'Imperio and Kerry Smith, the dream team at Realty South. 205-937-2232 is the phone number to call if you want to get in the game of fabulous downtown living.
Hello, everybody. It's Kip Kiefer for my session of Wanna Bet, and we are so delighted to have all of you tuned in. Hope you're ready for a big football weekend. It's going to be outstanding. You know, there are huge games on the schedule, and this is the time of year where it really gets to be a lot of fun. Every play matters, every strategic decision. You never know what is going to happen in these games that's going to kind of tip the balance of power and lead to certain teams having an opportunity to play for the national championship and others to fall by the wayside. Of course, the big venue on this coming weekend is in Athens, Georgia, the Georgia Bulldogs, #1 in the country in the AP poll, but only #3 with the first college football playoff rating. Some people surprised by that, a lot of people not. Tennessee was tied for second in the AP poll last week, so it was already going to be a #1 against #2 matchup from that standpoint. But now it's #1 against #3, And the number one is not Georgia. It is the Tennessee Volunteers, which is a shocking development as Josh Heupel, in just a season and a half, has turned around a program that was just a complete dumpster fire. And the Volunteers are the ones on fire now as they bring their perfect record into Athens. This is a showdown game. The winner is going to take the East Division of the SEC and pretty much wrap up their spot in the SEC championship game in Atlanta the first week of December. So it's all coming down to the home stretch, and the drama could not be greater. Despite the fact that the College Football Committee is very high on Tennessee, of course, making them number one, and that's based on their resume, which basically means they beat Alabama, and that earned them a great deal of respect. That was a wild game, though. 52-49, their defense was not exactly stellar. Alabama missed a field goal that probably could have wrapped up the game down the stretch. But the bottom line is Tennessee did win that game, and they are getting a lot of mileage out of that accomplishment of knocking off the Tide. They also have a very good win on their resume when they went down to LSU and handled the Bayou Bengals. So that's the other one that is kind of propping them up. The win over Kentucky maybe gets some attention, but as we've been telling you week to week, we weren't very high on this Kentucky team and identified them as a very likely fraud at the beginning of the year when they were getting a lot of love and attention, and they have not disappointed us in terms of that forecast. They have not been very good at all. Coach Mark Stoops, who was a hot commodity to start the season, his stock has gone way down. Kentucky just did not show up last week in Knoxville, falling to Tennessee 44-6. In a game that a lot of people, including me, thought would be fairly competitive, with Tennessee perhaps looking ahead to the Georgia game. So with all that being said, the number one Tennessee Volunteers, you'd think they'd be favored over Georgia. Well, you would be wrong, and you would be 8 points wrong. Georgia is an 8-point favorite to beat the now de facto number one team in the country when they play in Athens, and playing in Athens is the key here. I believe that Georgia will play their absolute best game in a supercharged atmosphere. Tennessee has all the pressure on them as kind of the new kid on the block, and now they carry the extra pressure of being the number one team in the country for this game. So I am going to go ahead and surrender the 8 points with Georgia. And the other reason? Well, Tennessee is the it team right now. Everybody's high on them. So I imagine the betting public is really going to be pounding the Volunteers. That's exactly the reason to go the other way and pick the other side. Take Georgia and give the 8. The other big game is in Baton Rouge. Alabama has to win out and be perfect the rest of the year to get to the big dance of the national championship tournament. They go to LSU and the Tigers week to week. We've called them the Jekyll and Hyde of the SEC on this program. They are back and forth and have wild swings of looking great one week and looking very pedestrian the next. So Alabama goes in for a Saturday night game, and you know what happens in Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night. It is wild because the Cajun celebration of a big football weekend with a major opponent coming in cranks up full speed early on Friday afternoon and goes all the way till the end of the game on Saturday. Let's just say that there will be plenty of inspiration for the LSU crowd to be registering on the Richter scale with some beverage accompaniments in their corner. The game, Alabama is a 13.5-point favorite, which seems outrageously high. The Tide has been very inconsistent on the road, and LSU coming off a demolition of Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago got a lot of people's attention, especially when Ole Miss bounced back and beat Texas A&M. But once again, LSU is going to be the team that people say 13.5. That's way too many points. I'm taking the Tigers. Well, just for that reason, and because Alabama has got to have this one, I think Alabama will probably be involved in a close game, but have too many weapons at the end to fall to the Tigers. And I would think that maybe they even get a late score and make that line. So take Alabama and give the 13.5 too. If you've been listening, you know I'm usually a guy who likes taking points instead of giving them. But in these two cases, we're going to go Georgia-Alabama. Quickly, we all have time for another game or two. Vanderbilt, I haven't picked them all year. I'm picking them this time because I think South Carolina's tank is empty. They lost a terrible home game to Missouri last week. South Carolina's a 7-point favorite at Vanderbilt. I think the Commodores go to the high seas and take down the Gamecocks. Liberty, one of the independent schools coached by Hugh Freeze, they go to Arkansas. Who made Arkansas's non-conference schedule? Cincinnati, BYU, and Liberty? Those are three, like, top 25 teams. There's one rated team in this game, and it's Liberty, not Arkansas. And Arkansas is a big favorite in the game. I'm going to take Liberty and give the points in this one. And the only other place we're going to stop on this SEC tour, Auburn relieving Coach Brian Harsin of his job this week. They'll have interim coach Carnell Cadillac Williams calling the shots. I think the Auburn team's going to kind of relax. They're on the road. All the pressure's off, all the speculation. Auburn is getting a lot of points, 11.5 against Mississippi State. Take the Tigers and the points. I think Mississippi State will probably win the game, but I think Auburn will put up a good fight with not a whole lot of expectations coming into the game. That's all the time we have. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy the big slate of games. I'm Kip Kiefer. We will see you again next week right here on WannaBet.